Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Mem Beis. We begin on the end of the very first line of Mem Beis, Amar Aleph, with the words Amar Rabba. And yesterday's share, we had a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe had said that a slave could be partially freed, according to one of the opinions that we had, Rebbe Yosef's opinion. This was true whether it was done with a shtar or done with kesef, and the Chachamim disagreed. The Chachamim, according to Rebbe Yosef, did not allow a partial freedom of a slave, only allowed, of course, a total freedom of a slave, but didn't allow a partial freedom of a slave, according to Rav Yosef, whether this was done with a shtar or whether this was done with kesef. Rabba's opinion was a little bit different. Let's just leave it at that right now to remind us that we had this machlokes yesterday between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So today, Amar Rabba, Rabba gives us the following scenario, that this machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim was a machlokes b'sheshichrer Chetzio v'hiniya chetzio. That machlokas that we had, that we explained between Rebbe and the Chachamim, either explaining it like Rabba or explaining it like Rav Yosef, was only when there was half of the slave that was left as a slave, and half of the slave was freed. So there you have the machlokas, could this or could not this be done? However, if the owner of the slave totally freed the slave by the following way, either avo shechrer chetzio, he freed half the slave, but previously umachar chetzio o nosan b'matana chetzio. So first, this is the way Rashi explains this, that first he either sold half of the slave to someone else, that everybody agreed is allowed, or he gave it as the matana to somebody else. Reuven owned the slave totally by himself, and he gave it either as a sale or as a matana to Shimon for half of the slave. And then he freed the other half of the slave. In this situation, both Rebbe and the Chacham, even the Chachamim hold, kivan d'konofik minei kule, since he no longer has any ownership in the slave at all. Reuven has either first sold or given away as a present the first half of the slave, and now freed the second half of the slave. So here, divri akol, Rebbe and even the Chachamim hold, hakol koner, that the slave does acquire himself, the half of him that is freed he does acquire, and the other half will go to the other person. So this is clear, Rabba says, Bein Rebbe, Bein the Chachamim. Because here, the original owner, Reuven, has given up the entire share in the slave. Part of it he sold or gave away, and the other half he freed. So here, even the Chachamim hold that you can give away the second half of the slave to the slave, you can free him, even though it's only half of him. Now, that is what Rabba said. Abaye doesn't like this. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, really? Ubekulo lo plige? Are you telling me in this situation that the Chachamim don't argue with Rebbe and they allow this second half to, so to say, be given away as long as the first half was either sold or given as a gift? Is that true? But I'll show you, we're going to have a contrast between two brises that seems to disagree with that. And we'll have four terutz on how to explain this contrast. So the first, let's learn the brisa. We have the first brisa that says, V'atani chada. In one brice it says, Hakosev nechosov lishnei avoda. If a person writes over his property to his two slaves. So Reuven writes over his property and he says, Bivas achas, Rashi explains, Shekosev shtei shtaros, he wrote two documents which say they're called nechosov lezeh, but called nechosov lezeh. He has two servants and he gives over one document that says that all of his property goes to servant A, and he has a second document that says all of his property will go to servant B. And how does he give it over? The zika lishaliach echad bivasachas, and he gives it to a shaliach to accept it on their behalf, and the shaliach accepts it simultaneously. So both of them, slave one and slave two, both are freed at the same time. The palgi delo kodam echad lechaveru, that neither of them was freed before the other one. So neither one acquired the other one. So in this situation, the Braisa says, Hakosev nechosel l'shnei avodav, he writes over all of his nechosim to his two servants, kanu. Each of them acquires their freedom, but only in part, because they each acquire half of the estate, including half of each eved. So one person acquires half of himself, and he acquires half of the other servant. So servant one acquires half of himself and half of servant two, and servant two acquires the other half of servant one and the other half of himself. So in this situation, they do acquire themselves, and they can go and free each other. So this way, they follow along with the Mishnah. They said yesterday, a person can't be half eved, half ben chorin, because there's no way to get married, and there's no way that he can be kayim the mitzvah of pru or vo, and therefore each one is forced to free the other one. Therefore, you clearly see that this first brisa goes in accord with the idea that Rabbi had just brought down, that if you give away the entire share, this owner had given away his entire share of slave one and slave two, half to slave one, half to slave two, and therefore each of them is able to acquire it. So this first brisa is in accord with what Rabbi just said. But then we have another brisa, the Tanya Idach, Ha'omer, called Nechosai, Nesunun Leploni, Uploni Avodai. If a person says, all of my property shall go over to so-and-so and so-and-so, my avodim, so it will go over to slave one and to slave two, so then Av Atzman Lo Kanu. This brisa number two says that they don't acquire themselves and they don't acquire any of the property. Now, that's clearly a stira to brisa number one. So you have one brisa that says they do acquire the freedom, and one brisa says they don't acquire the freedom. How do you reconcile these two brises? So the first way that we're going to reconcile it is as follows. My lav, ha Rebbe, ha Rabbanan. We'll say that the first brisa is the opinion of Rebbe that says a person can acquire half of himself. And the second brisa goes like the opinion of the Chacham, that a person cannot acquire half of himself, even if the entire rights to that slave are now gone from Reuven. So let us therefore suggest that this reconciliation between the two brises assumes that there's a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, even in a case where the entire rights to that slave have been given to that slave have been given away by the master. And that contradicts what Rabbi just said. So Gemara says, no. Lo, Edi Rabbanan. In fact, both brises are going in accord with the opinion of the Chacham. Aye, then how come one brise says that the Avodim are able to be koneh themselves, and the second brise says the Avodim are not able to be koneh themselves? If it's all the opinion of the Rabbanan, why should there be a difference? So the Gemara answers, Hod Yomar Kulo, Hod Yomar Chetzi Chetzi. Because the first brise, the owner, Reuven, said, I'm giving over all of the property to my Avodim. He owns no share of either Evid. He said, you, Evid number one, you, Evid number two, all of my property is even owed to you. So Reuven leaves nothing for himself. But in the second brisa, where it says, Omer kol nechase nesulun leploni, u leploni avodai, he gave over the ha'adamar chetzi chetzi. He gave over half to Evid number one and half to Evid number two. And therefore, each of them, it's still partially owned by Reuven, the original owner. And therefore, that's why brisa number two, which holds like the opinion of the Chachamim, that says, unless you give away your entire rights, so you can't give away half of your rights. So that's reconciliation number one between brisa number one and brisa number two. More questions this and says, wait a second, keep on reading the brisa. V'al mikdoni seifa, it says furthermore in the brisa, however, v'imamar chetzi chetzi lo kanu. This brisa, the second brisa says, but if he specifically gave over only half to each one, bimor chetzi chetzi, then lo kanu. The implication of that, however, is that the first part of the second brisa, mechal dereisha, diomar kulo. It's not that he said chetzi chetzi. The reisha says kulo, and even there, according to you, the Rabbanan would hold that he doesn't acquire it. How come? So that's the kasha. How can Rabbi say that the Rabbanan admit that if he gives over all of his rishus, all of his power, his rights, so then Reuven does give it up, and the avodim are able to be kona themselves, even though they're only kona half. So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood it. Peirushe kom ifarish. In fact, the second part of the second brisa is the explanation for the first part of the second brisa. Af atzmon lo konu, they don't acquire themselves, but only ketzat, under what circumstances, to go and dama chetzi chetzi. So the second part explains the first part. But if they truly, Reuven truly gave over all of the avodim, then it'll be the same as the first brisa, and in fact, the avodim would be kona themselves. Now, that's teretz number one, how you reconcile the two brises. The Gemara is going to try to bring a raya to this. It'll be unsuccessful, but it doesn't schlug up this answer. So this is teretz number one, that the first brise is talking about kulo, and the second brise is talking about chetzi chetzi, and they both go according to the Chachamim. Now we're going to try to bring a raya to this. As I said, we won't be able to substantiate this raya, but it doesn't prove it wrong. So we try to say this is, in fact, right from the following logical argument. And Sefer's the Amar Chetzi Chetzi. If the second Brisa was had the Reisha was talking about Kulo, and the Sefer was talking about Chetzi Chetzi, so then why do you need to tell me the Sefer? Hashta Amar Kulo Lo Kanu Amar Chetzi Chetzi Mibaye. If the Reisha is talking about all of their ownership was given over, and they're still not Koneh, so certainly if you only give over half, they wouldn't be Koneh. So you don't need to tell me that if in fact the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about two different things, oh, ergo, it must be that the Reish is really talking about Chetzi Chetzi, and the Sefer is just Perushe Komifarish. Oh, Hachanami Mistavra. That's what the Raya we want to bring to this understanding. However, the Gemara says the Raya is not a good proof. Again, it doesn't slog up this answer, but it's not a good proof, because Imi Shumha, lo Iria, if you're going to tell me it must be that the second part of the second Brisa is explaining the second Bryce's first part, so that can't be the case, because imi shumolo iria, that wouldn't be correct, because tana seifa legaluya reisha, the seifa is there to reveal what the reisha is talking about. Shelo tomar, that you shouldn't say reisha is d'oba chetzi chetzi. If you didn't have the seifa, so then I would have said the reisha is d'oba chetzi chetzi. But abel omar kulo kanu, even the chacham would admit if he said you totally acquired, so then abel omar kulo kanu, then they would in fact have acquired themselves. So in that situation, that's why Tana Sefer Dama Chetzi Chetzi. That's why it has to say in the Sefer Chetzi Chetzi Miklal Dereisha Dama Kula, to teach us that Dereisha is talking about Kulo, and even there Vafilu Hachi Lo Kanu. So therefore, you've slugged up the proof. The Hachanami Mistari you slugged up, but you didn't slug up the potential answer. It didn't prove it wrong, and therefore this is Teretz number one. How you reconcile the first Brisa that it says Kanu, and the second Brisa says Lo Kanu. The first Brisa is talking about Kulo, and the second Brisa is talking about Chetzi Chetzi. Okay, that's the first way that we reconcile these two brises and say that they're not a stira one to the other. Now we'll have a second answer. The same. Alternately, you can reconcile the two brises in the following way. Lo kasha, there's not a stira one to the other. What's not a machlokes? Because kan bishtar echot, in the second brisa, they used the same document. Reuven used the same document to free slave one and slave two. Whereas in the first brisa, kan bishnei shtaros, where we said it was kone, so they used two different documents. Because you can't use one document to free two slaves, just like you can't divorce two women with a single get, with one get, to say that the two women are divorced with this one get. Each of them needs their own get. So too, a slave cannot be freed, two slaves cannot be freed using the same get shichra. You need each one to have their own get shichra. So again, the first brisa is talking about with the two different shtaros, and therefore both slaves are kona themselves. Where the second brisa is talking about there was one shtar for both slaves, so therefore they can't be kona themselves. That's how you reconcile the two brises. More questions this as well, but here the question is going to fall away. Bishtar echad, when you're dealing with one document, if you're telling me the second brisa was dealing with a single document, so then why did it have to tell me in the second part of the brisa, ma'ir yechetzi chetzi? Even afilo amar kulo nami lo kono, because it's one document. So why did it have to tell me the case of chetzi chetzi? So it says, oh, hachanami kome. No, it had to tell us that case because of the following reason. Af atzman lo kono. You might have thought, okay, they don't acquire all the possessions, but at least they acquire themselves. Under what circumstances? I would have said if there was one document, they acquired themselves. But avu b'shnei sharos kanu, they with two documents, then they actually acquire everything. But if the owner Reuven had said you'll each acquire half, so then af b'shnei sharos nami lo kanu. So the chiddush there was even with two documents, this is the opinion of the Rabbanan, that you're not kona with a half, and therefore that's why if they say chetzi chetzi, even though it was two documents, it wouldn't be kona. Okay, that's Teretz number two. That's a good reconciliation. The first brisa is talking about that there were two documents. The second brisa is talking about only one document. And we explained why it had to say chetzi chetzi in the second brisa as well. Okay, that's Teretz number two. Now we have Teretz number three, which we're going to slug up. There'll be a Teretz number four, which we'll also slug up. Teretz number three, the Yibayisema, how do you reconcile the first brisa with the second brisa, Lokasha, the two are not in machlokas with each other. The first Bryce is talking about Khan, Bivasachas. He did them simultaneously, and that's why they're Kona themselves. There was neither one going first. So there's nothing left over. Both of them are simultaneously, Bivasachas. Whereas the second Bryce, we said, Lo Kanu, Khan, Bizachazeh. So the first one was partially freed, and the second one then is partially freed. So therefore, that won't work, Lo Kanu. So Gemara says, Bishlama Basra. We understand why the second one is not considered freed, because the Hokone lay kama, because the first one had acquired everything. Ela kama, but the first one, likne navshe, liknai lichavre. So why isn't the first one, when he's kona himself, and he's kona everything, so why is he not kona his friend? So the Gemara says, Yitaka right, that's not a good reconciliation. Ela machvarta, kidishanina meikar, either Teretz number one or Teretz number two has to be correct. Teretz number three is not correct, because in this situation, if it's not bevasa achas, so then slave number one, when he was given everything, would have in fact acquired himself and the other person, the other slave, to be his slave. Slave number two would still be a slave, albeit no longer to Reuven, the original master, but now to the freed slave number one. Oh, from the fact that that's not what it said, lo kanu, it must mean that this isn't a good teretz. So teretz number three, we tried, but we discarded. Now we have one more teretz, teretz number four. Rav Ashi says, shiny hasam, the difference between Brisa number one, we said kanu, Brisa number two, we said lo kanu, is the kokari lu avodai, because he used the lashon, and Brisa number two, he calls them my slaves, implying that even though he freed them, they were still a slave. In other words, he retained part of them, and if he retains part of them, that it's not that he fully gave them over, and that's why they are still slaves. That's Rav Ashi's teretz, but the Gemara doesn't like this. Amalei Rafun Rav Ashi. Rafun questions Rav Ashi, and he says, Vidoma avadai means shahayu kvar. It doesn't mean they still are avadai, but it meant in the past they were avadai. And I'll show you that this is right, because mi lo tnan, after all, there's a Mishnah in Peya that says exactly this same lashon of avadai when it's clearly after they were redeemed. Because it says over there, hakosev kol nechosev li avdo. If a person writes over all of his properties to his servant, to his slave, yotzo lecheiris, that slave goes free. This is a valid get shichur. However, shi'er karka, kolshu, if he left any amount of karka, so then lo yotzo lecheiris. The slave doesn't go free because that bit that he was shi'er, that bit that he left behind, maybe included the evet. And therefore, so the kosev, as Rashi says, chutz min hakarka kol shehu, so then lo yotza ben chorin, he doesn't go free. Rashi says, lo yadinan hai karka shia, we don't know which piece of karka was not given over to the slave, over chol kol shehu, and every little piece, we could say, aminan hai shia, that's the piece that was left behind. And therefore, Rashi says, v'kivan de karkos lo kono, legufe nami lo kono, since he didn't acquire the karka, he also doesn't acquire his own self. The lo palginon dibura, since the karka doesn't work, we don't say, well, okay, for the karka doesn't work, but for the emancipation of the slave, it does work. No. Ho'el, u'b'chad dibura akni le, gufe u'nuchasim, u'paga dibura lo miskayim, yidoch palga nami lo miskayim. So therefore, since the whole thing doesn't come true, part of it doesn't come true, and that's why it is not going to be acceptable. Because it says there in Peya that he left over karka kolshu, and therefore the slave doesn't go free, and he doesn't acquire all the properties. That's the opinion of Tanakhama there in Peya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, la'olam hu ben chorin. Rabbi Shimon says, in fact, he is a ben chorin. As Rashi says, sovar palginon. We do divide up his words. Ho'o, the hiskir karka bishura. So karkorus with the lokana. So there is a piece of karka, and we don't know which one, so therefore he's not calling any of the karka. But he's not karka, and therefore he's not concluded in that, and therefore he's not included in the shiure karka, and therefore he does go free according to Rabbi Shimon. However, even Rabbi Shimon says, if the master had said that all my possessions go to you, except Achiomar kol nuchase nesulin leploni avdi, they go to you, my servant, chutz me'echa miribo shem, except for 1/10,000, ribo is 10,000, 1/10,000 of them I'm retaining, so then even Rabbi Shimon admits that he doesn't go free. Now, here's the kasha. This is, we're going to slug up the fourth teretz that we had, Rav Ashi's teretz, because he called him avodai. And here, you see, the only reason Rabbi Shimon says that the slave doesn't go free in this fashion is because he said he's leaving 1/10,000 to himself, and that mistama includes the slave. But the implication is, if he didn't say chutz me echad mi ribo shevahen, in fact, kani, the slave would acquire his own freedom. But why am I the eved kokari le? You see that he calls him his eved, that he is an eved over here. He's called achiyom kol nechasin esul lefloni avdi. So he calls him eved. So if it wasn't for the 1/10,000, you're saying it would work. So therefore, he's called Eved. El Avdi Shahar Yokvar. It must mean my Eved used to be my Eved, but it's not my Eved anymore. So to Aviyah, Ochanami, Avadai Shahar Yokvar. And therefore, Rav Ashi's proof is wrong. And therefore, that's not a good resolution to the stira between the first price says Kanu and the second price says Lo Kanu. So Teretz number three, Teretz number four, no good. Teretz number one is good. Teretz number two is good. And that concludes that little sukkah. Now the Gemara says, we're going to discuss a new matter. In Rashi, in Dira Maskel, Negach Hushor, he says, Umemra bi'abuhu. This is a totally new subject that we're going to discuss based upon the Mishnah that said, Chetzio Eved, Chetzio Ben Chorin. Now here we have a case of an ox that gored a person. Now if an ox gores a slave and kills him, so there's a penalty of Shloshim Kesef. The bottom Rashi says, Hamis, Bishar Muad. If Bishar Muad goes and kills an Eved, Kenani, so the owner of the Eved Kenani gets Shloshim Kesef. If, in fact, an ox gores a free person and kills him, so then there's kofar yushas olav. So then there is a penalty. You evaluate how much this person was worth on the slave market, and that's the amount that the owner of this sharmuad has to pay to the inheritors of the person that the ox killed, because that was that person's value. So again, for a slave, no matter how valuable or not valuable the slave is, it's always shloshim kesef. That's the din in the Torah, gzeres hakosef. And for a free person who Nebuch the ox kills, so then you pay the penalty, the owner of the ox who didn't protect his ox properly, didn't watch do a proper shmir on the ox, and he killed somebody, so you pay the value of that person on the open slave market, and you give it to the inheritors of the person Nebuch that was killed. Now, the Gemara tells us, negach hoshar, if the shar went and gored a person who's a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chorin. So, who gets that money? Who gets the penalty that would be given to the owner of a slave if the slave was killed, or the relatives of a free person if a free person was killed? So here, it's chetzi eved, chetzi ben chorin. So, the Gemara says, it depends which day it is. As we brought down yesterday in the Mishnah, we learned the original opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said that if two masters, you had Reuven and Shimon, that let's say had inherited or were partners in an Eved, and Reuven freed him, so the Eved is half free, the other half that was owned by Shimon is still owned by Shimon. And we said, for arguments, they leave Shabbos out of the equation, so the Eved will work for the master on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and he'll work for himself on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So in this situation where the ox gored him, so the Gemara says, Yom Shel Rabo, if it was the Sunday, Tuesday, or Thursday days that the Eved is owned by the other master by Shimon, so then this Knas, if he's damaged on that day, will go to the master. Okay, so let's say he broke his arm. The ox gored and broke his arm, so there's a penalty for the broken arm, that's Nezek, so you pay that to the owner of the Eved, because it happened on Sunday, Tuesday, or Thursday. Yom Shel Rab, Shel Rab, Shel Rab, Friday, when the Chatzi Ben Chorin is working for himself, so then, the Yatzmo, then he gets the Nezek of the broken arm. That's what the Gemara tells us. Now, the Gemara, Elimayato, according to what you're saying, so now we have a resolution to our Mishnah, where we said, let the person, the person to go and have the second master free him so he'll be able to marry somebody. So once he's saying there's a Yom Shel Rabo and a Yom Shel Atzmo, again, on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Yom Shel Rabo, Yisa Shivcha, let him be married to a Shivcha on Sunday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and Yom Shel Atzmo, the days he's working for himself, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Yisa Baschorin, let him be married to a Baschorin on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Now, this sounds a little bit ridiculous, and that's the fact. That really isn't possible, because Isura lo kamrina. For financial matters, we can say, yeah, you'll work for the master on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and work for yourself on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. No problem. You can divide up a dollar and say, okay, this dollar's yours, this dollar's his, this dollar's yours, this dollar's his. However, you can't tell the wife, well, you're only my wife on Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays. You're a Jewish lady, but you're only married to me on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And the Shivcha Kinanis, well, you're only married to me on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. That's not doable. Isur lo kamrina. As Rashi says, that the heavy lichatzoyin, that there'd be a half marriage, so to say. Only on these days are you married, these days you're married. No. But for money, you can go do that. So therefore, that's not a good teretz. For money, you can divide it up, but it has nothing to do with marriage. Tashma, we try again. What about in the case where it didn't break his arm, but the shor actually killed this half eved, half ben chorin? So hamis misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. Until now, we gave the case negachu shor, the shor just gored him and caused damage, nezek. But here, the ox killed him. This was a shor muad, and it actually killed this chetzio eved, chetzio ben chorin. So hamis misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. So who gets the knas? So no saying chatzi knas l'rabo, since the master, one of the masters over here, still owned half of him. So let's say Shimon still owned half of this slave. So he would be entitled to the full 30 knas if he was 100% owner. So therefore, he gets half the knas because he owns half the evidence. So he gets 15. He gets 15 kesef, not 30 kesef, because he only owns half. And what about the other half that's owned by the Ben Chorin, Nebuch, who died? So his inheritors. So, notzi chas kas l'rabo. So half of the knas goes to the Rebbe. He'll get 15. And we turn to Membeis, Omud Beis. And the other half, v'chatzi kofer liyorshav. The half that is kofer, which we explained already, means what he's worth on the open slave market. So that's what the owner of the shor muad has to go pay if he goes and kills a person. So that kofer, so he's only entitled to half the kofer. Now, he's dead, so his yarshin will get it. And the obvious question that you're all thinking is, how can an Eved Kanani have yarshin? So the Gemara will address that. Mitzvah in tomorrow's shir. Lekamen, Rashi says, Paruch Yarshim Yinole. Where are their Yarshim from? So we'll have to wait till we get to tomorrow's shir to answer that question. But for now, the Gemara says, you're telling me that half of the Knas goes to the Rabbo, and half of the Kofar goes to the dead slaves, inheritors. So he's half Ben Chorin, so it goes to his inheritors of his Ben Chorin side. But Amai, the Gemara says, Hochanami, why don't we say here, Lema, Yom Shel Rabbo L'Rabbo, Yom Shel Atzmo L'Atzmo. Just like we said a moment ago, that it depends when the arm was broken. If the arm was broken on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, so then the payment for the broken arm goes to the master. If it was broken on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so the payment of the arm goes to the Chatzi Ben Chorin person. So why don't we say the same thing for the Kofar? Look and see what day he was killed by the ox. If he was gored and killed on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, you should go and give the full Knas to the Rabbo. And if he was killed on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he should get the full kofar to his Yarshin. So why don't we say that like we just said a moment ago? Shmuel says, no, there's a difference between killing the Eved and breaking his arm. Shiny Hacha, here it's different, because when you kill the Eved, this Chatzi Chorin, Chatzi Eved, so Hacha, the Kokalia Karna, he's zilch now, he's no longer in existence. So you can't say only the person who had the damage done on his day should be entitled to the Knas or the Kofar. Here, he's totally removed from the world, and therefore each of them is entitled to 50%. So the Eved master will get 50% of the Knas, and the Yarshim of the Eved will get 50% of the Kofar. It's different over here. So it says, and the case of the broken arm, so what was that case? The first case that we brought down? It said, if the ox gored him, so then, if he broke his arm, let's say, so then the person who was owning him that day, if it was the master, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, the master gets the full payment for the broken arm, and it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so then the Eved, who's himself, he's working for himself that day, that's his Ben Chorin day, so he would get the broken arm. How do you ever have a situation where it's not Kalya Karna, that his arm isn't damaged for permanent? So it more says, because it wasn't damaged permanently. Let's say the ox gored him on the hand, he broke his arm, and it shriveled up, it dried up, and the sofa lasso. No, you put it in a cast, he'll be able to use it 6 weeks later, and Baruch Hashem, his arm is healed. So the damage in this situation is a one-time event, and we look at it, if it's the day of the Rebbe, if it's Yom Shel Rabbo, L'Rabbo. And if it's Yom Shel Atzmo, L'Atzmo, because it's a one-time event. It's not Kalya Karna. It's not totally destroyed. So the Gemara says, now that works out very well, according to Abaye, but it's going to be a Kasha according to Rava. What's this Machlokas Abaye and Rava? So we have this Machlokas, Rashi tells us in Baba Kama on Daf Pei Vav, Be'odom Shechava B'chaveiro B'inyan Zeh, where a person damages his friend in the following fashion. What happens over there? Abaye said, Honichla Abaye, works out well according to Abaye, that there's two types of damages over here. The Omer, no sein lo sheves gedola v'sheves kitana. What does we mean by sheves gedola, sheves kitana? So Rashi explains, sheves gedola hein pichas domov limocher achshov bashuk. That would be how much this person is diminished in value by the damage that you did. If you were to sell him today, how much he would be worth in the open market. So before this damage, he was worth $1,000. Now after this damage, he's worth $500. So that nezek is $500. V'hu nezek, and that's what we call nezek. Ulahochi korile sheves, shepiches domov shel achshov. It's called sheves because he diminished his value right now on the open market. And elu elmi shub sheves sheno roy lasses melacha b'shtei yadav azman shetaser yado. And it's because he has to rest. He has to have sheves because he can't work right now. Elo lishbor kishun. But his hands don't work. But he could sit in a chair and watch the cucumbers growing in the field. And if he sees somebody coming, he picks up the telephone and calls security. So that he could do. So this is the next stage. When the pain has gone away, he can't work when he's in pain. So the original damage, so he's in pain, he can't work then, and that's called the nezek. But then he's beyond light duty. He's able to go back. He has a cast on his arm. He has a broken arm, so he can't really do the work that he was doing beforehand, but he's able to sit there and pick up the telephone, call security if he sees somebody entering into the field. So that he's able to do. That's called sheves katan. So according to Abaye, that there is this concept of sheves gadol and sheves ketana. Don't I know, sino sheves gadol and sheves ketana. So shapir, this works out very well according to Abaye, that you can have two types of injury. One is kaya karna, and one is the example that we gave, kigon shiko yado v'tzom si yado v'sofo lachser. So that's certainly well according to Abaye. El Rava, but Rava doesn't hold like that. Rava holds the Omar, ain't no sin lo el shifto shim choyom yo. He said, you look at it each day. Is he able to work today? No. So then that person on that day would be compensated. The next day, well, what can he do? That person will be compensated. So you don't say there's a Shevis Gedola and a Shevis Ketana. So according to Rava, that you just look at each day, Shifto B'chol Yom V'Yom, so this is done by Yeshar, Hayesharhu. And if it's not called Nezek, it's just called Shevis, which is a different type of damage. So there are five types of damage. There's Nezek, Tsar, Ripu, Shevis, and Boshes. Nezek is the actual damage that was done. Then there's a Tsar, that's what you pay for the pain. There's Ripu, that's the doctor bills. Shevis is the unemployment. The guy can't work. And then there's the Boshes, the embarrassment factor. Now, with a human being, you can have all five types of damage. But this is a Shar. And Hai Sharhu, the Gemara says, Vishar Eino Mishalim Elo Nezek. There's only this concept of Nezek. But according to Rava, this isn't Nezek. This is Sheves. And therefore, so according to Abaye, there was this Sheves Gedola, which is Nezek, and the Sheves Ketana, which is the unemployment factor. But according to Rava, there's only the unemployment factor over here. And therefore, if this is a Shar, Shar Eino Mishalim Elo Nezek. By definition, Shar only has Nezek damage. There is no Tsar, Reap, or Sheves, and Boshes. So therefore, there's a problem according to Rava. According to Abaye, you're right. That would be a good teretz. But according to Rava, we got a problem over here. How could there be this Kigon Shiko Yodo with some Siyodo, Vesofa Lassar? That would be unemployment. And the Shar doesn't pay for unemployment. So the Gemara tells us there are two terutzim, if you want to say this goes like Rava. Number one, Ibai Seima Kishiko Adam. It's a mistake. It wasn't Negacho Shar. It was he called Adam. A person hit him and not a shore, and therefore all five types of damages apply, and that's why you have the Shevis damage. Fine. Alternatively, Teretz number two, Vibayi Seima Memrahi. This is only a Memra. What does it mean it's only a Memra? So Rashi says, Rava held that this is not a Mishnah or a Braisa. As Rashi tells us, Bi'almahi, it's a Memra Bi'alma. There ain't no lo Mishnah, lo Braisa. And therefore, Rava Mar. Loch the whole memra lo sirule. Rava doesn't hold from this. Memra li rava lo sirule. He doesn't hold from this. He's allowed to argue with it. The Mefarsha bring down, even if this statement came from a Tana, here we have the ability for an Amora to argue with it because it's not from a Mishnah or a Braisa. In any event, the bottom line is Rava disagrees with this statement, and therefore you can't bring me a steerer from this to Rava. Another question was asked in the base medrash. Yibarlu, they asked the following shal in the base medrash. Me'ukav get shichrur. If a person was freed, but the only thing he still needs is the get shichrur. So, and then Nebuch, an ox comes and kills this person who was freed, but didn't have a get shichrur. So who gets the knas? Do we say that the original owner gets the knas, and therefore yesh lo knas? Or do we say, no, he's already freed, and oh, ain lo knas, and therefore there is no knas in this situation? What are the two sides to the coin? So the Gemara explains. The pasuk tells us that if an ox goes and kills an eved kenani, kesef shloshim shkolim yitain ladunav, there is a din that he has to go and pay. The owner of the ox has to go pay 30 shkolim, no matter what, shloshim kesef, no matter what, to the owner of the slave. That's what the Torah says, amrechwana. And therefore, in our case here, the owner of the slave had freedom. He hadn't written a get shichur, but he had freedom. The only thing that was missing was the get shichur. He told him, you're free, you don't have to work for me anymore. And he was going to write him up a get shichur to allow him to go marry a Jewish lady. And he didn't do that before the ox gored him. So in this situation, one side of the coin would be, v'hai lav adonu, this person doesn't have a master anymore. And it says, the kesef shloshim shkolim yitain la'adonav. It has to go to his master. And he doesn't have a master anymore. And therefore, there would be no kesef shkolim in this situation that goes to the master. Or alternatively, the other side of the coin, Odilma, maybe you could argue, no, his kivon de mechuser get shechur, adon karina be. Since he is lacking over here the get shechur, if he is not a freed person yet, so then by definition he's still a slave. Okay, the master can't work him, he freed him from work, but he's still called a slave. And therefore, this master is still his adon. The adon has to give him a get shechur. The adon has to give him a get shechur, and therefore, kesef shloshim shkolim yitain ladonav does apply, adon karina be. That's the question they ask in the base medrash, and here we try to answer it from the following brisa. Toshma says in the following brisa, if an ox came and killed Hamis, Misha, Chetzu Eved, Chetzu Ben Chorin, if the ox gored a person who was this Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, so the din was, we said, we had this brisa a few minutes ago, Nosi Chetzi Knas L'Rabo, the Chetzi Kofel Yorshav. We said that we view this as two separate payments. Half of it will go to the Rabo, so half of the Knas, half of the Shloshim Kesef will go to the owner, the master. So he'll get 15, and then you figure out the valuation of the person, what's called the kofer. He's worth, let's say, $1,000 on the open market. So now the Yorshim, we didn't explain yet how he can have Yorshim, we'll explain that still in tomorrow's year. So the Yorshim of this Eved, they will get the other half of his evaluation of the kofer. B'chatzi kofer li Yorshim. Now, my love, aren't we talking about Kemishna Achrona. Aren't we talking about here after Beis Hillel was more than Beis Shammai, that we forced the second master, in the case we had Reuven and Shimon, Reuven freed him, so we forced Shimon to go free his half. So here we're talking about a Chatziyev and Chatziyev and Chorin. So we were already at the point where Beis Din was forcing him to go and not work him, and he just had to write and get Shichra. So aren't we talking about that he was already freed? So therefore, there is no Adon over here, except for the get shechur, and yet you see that it said that the chatzi knas goes l'rabo. So you see over here, if it's talking about the Mishnah Chrona, after Beis Hillel was motored to Beis Shammai, so then he still called his adon, even though he can't work him anymore, he just is mechusar, the writing of the get shechur. Oh, asked and answered. Even though he can't work him, he's still called master, adon karina bey, because he is still lacking the get shechur. Oh, so asked and answered. Shmuel says, "Lo, lav davka, kemishna bishona." This is actually going before we have Beis Hillel's final psak, and this brisa goes in accord with the first opinion. Beis Hillel says, "No, he'll work Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday for the master, and work Monday, Wednesday, Friday for himself, and everything is fine and dandy." This is before they were worried about the tikkun olam, about who the slave would be able to marry. Okay, that's not a raya. We still have our question. Is there a knas or is there not a knas? So try again. Toshma. We have a different brisa. He pilah shino. There is a din of shor va'ayin, a very famous din, that if the master knocks out the tooth or the eye of his slave, so the slave automatically goes free. So the Braisa tells us, he pelashino, if the master knocked out the tooth of his slave, or v'simi yaseino, or he knocked out the eye, he blinded his slave, so then yotze bishino, the slave goes free with the knocking out of the tooth, and with the knocking out of the eye, he's entitled to the payment for his eye. V'no saying dimei eino, for the eye. The slave, who's now freed, is entitled to get paid for the knocked out eye, for the blindness of his eye. So the owner, the original owner, has to go pay for that. Now, the Gemara says, the Amris Yeshlo Knas Uknas the Rabbo. If you're telling me that a person who is just short of being freed by the Get Shichur, he's already freed in terms of Avoda, but he didn't yet receive his Get Shichur, his Shtar that says that he's a free man. And you said, and as we brought down, the knas in this situation goes to the Rebbe because Odon Karina Bey, so then how could you possibly suggest that this master, Vino Saint Me'eno, has to give the slave the value of his eye? Because Hashta Chavle Bey Achrine Yovile Rabbe, if somebody else went and somebody's ox gored this servant and killed him, not with the yarshim of the servant wouldn't get it. The master would get it in this situation. So hashto chevle bei achrine. If other people went and hurt him, so yovilei l'rabbi, the rabbi gets it. The master gets it. So certainly alachas chama v'chama. If chavu bei rabbi gufei, if the master knocked out the guy, he certainly shouldn't have to go pay the servant. So Gemara says no dilma. This goes like the opinion in Kaman Diomar Eino Tzarech. Maybe this Braisa goes like the opinion that says, as soon as you knock out the tooth or the eye of your servant, so there's no get shichur that's necessary. The act of knocking out the tooth frees him. It doesn't just make him no longer your servant, and you have to give a get shichur. According to this Man Diomar, as soon as he knocks out the tooth, he knocks out the eye, the servant is free. That is, the knocking out of the tooth, the knocking out of the eye, is essentially his get shichur. And that's why, in addition now, you have to go and pay for the eye. Now, this is in fact a machlokas, the Tanya. We learned a number of different opinions in this brisa, half saying yes, half saying no. If in fact, you go and knock out any one of the 24 evarim, or the teeth or the eye of your Eved Kenani. The 24 Evarim are the 10 fingers on the hand, the 10 toes, the nose, the ears, or the gid of a person. So those are the 24, what are called Rashi Evarim. They're actually brought down, and all of these in regards to Negayim, in regards to various lesions of Tzaraas, you can't look at them all at once because they all have different sides to them. So therefore, that is called the Rashi Evarim, these tips of these various parts of the body, as well as the shein v'ayin. If you knock out any of them, so then the slave goes free. So that's what the Braisa says. Bechulon, in any of these 24 Rashi Evarim, plus the teeth or the eyes, so Eved Yosef ben Lucheris, the Eved goes free if the master knocked it out. And the Braisa says, V'tzarech get shichur me'rabo, but he goes free, he doesn't have to work anymore for the master, but he still requires a get shichur from that master. And that's to allow him to go and marry a Jewish woman. Working he no longer has to do. But if he wants to go marry a Jewish woman, so he needs to get shechur. Dear Rabbi Shmuel, this is the Tanakama, Rabbi Shmuel. Rameh disagrees. Rameh Omer, ain't no tzarech. Even though Rameh is normally the Tanakama, here he's not. Rameh says, no, he doesn't need to get shechur. as we just said, Dilma, Kiman Diyomer, Eino Tzarech, that's Rav Meir. The Rav Meir says, the minute any one of these Rashi Yevarim, or the tooth, or the eye is knocked out, boom, he's a free person, doesn't need to get Shechor. Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar Omer Tzarech. Rabbi Tarfon agrees with Rav Meir. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Eino Tzarech. And Rabbi Kiva Omer Tzarech. Rabbi Kiva says, he does need to get Shechor. And now the Braisa concludes and says, Hamachri and Lifnei Chachamim, those that finalize the din in front of the Chachamim, as Rashi says, Das Chachamim Ezo Nira, below his Parish Maninu, it doesn't say who these people were, but they were the ones that finalized the Psak Halacha, and they said, Nirin Devre Rabbi Tarfon Bishen Ba'ayin. Rabbi Tarfon, who said, and so did Rabbi Meir, that Eino Tzarech get Shechur, you don't need to get Shechur. So these two Tanoim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Tarfon, so the Machriim said that the halacha appears to be like them, Nirim to Divrei, Rabbi Tarfon, and also, well, Rabbi Meir, I don't know why it says only says Rabbi Tarfon, B'shein V'ayin. In regards to the master knocking out the tooth or the eye, he definitely goes free, doesn't need to get Shechra. And the reason for that is, Hoel, since the Torah Zichsalob, because it says B'feirish in the Torah, Shein V'ayin. And it appears to this Machriim, B'divrei Rabbi Akiva, which would, by the way, also be the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, and the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, Bishare Varim Ditzorich, that you would in fact need to go and have a get shichur for the 24 Rashi Evarim. Why? Hoel uknas chachamu. The Gemara seems to suggest right now, this Brisa seems to suggest, that the Machriim felt that this was only the Rabbanan, and therefore the Rabbanan will go and you require a get shichur. Now, the Gemara questions this, knas? Is this really only a knas? Huh? Kroi ka darshina. This, in fact, is based upon psukim. As Rashi says, Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that this is all darshined out. So these 24 Rashi Evarim are the arises. How can you tell me they're the Rabbanans? Ha kroi ka darshinan. So Gemara answers, El Eima, you know what you have to say? Hoel umidrash chachamu. This is a drush, but it's a din daraisa, but it's a drush, so it's not so obvious. And the concern, Tosus tells us, in Dibra Masa, hoel umidrash chachamu, Omer Beit Otam, the Chayshinim were concerned, Shema Yimse'enu Bishuk, later on, the owner is going to find him in the marketplace, the Yom Elo, Avdi Ato, you're my Evet, hey, all you did was have your finger chipped off, and people aren't going to know that din, and they're not going to know that this is like Shein Ba'ayin. Shein Ba'ayin, Tosa says, those are psukim, the Zil Karibe Ravu, even a little child in school knows these psukim that say the Evet goes free with Shein Ba'ayin. If he knocks out his tooth or his eye, the psukim say the Befeirish goes free. The Drashos of the 24 Rashi Evarim, so that's not so clear, and therefore, that's why we say that in that situation, better get a get Shechur, because that could lead to trouble. Now, Gemara asks another question. They ask in the base medrash the following shailah, Mu'ukav geit shichror, ochal v'truma, o eno ochal. This slave was the slave of a kohen. The kohen freed him, but he didn't give him yet to get shichror. Can he still eat truma or not? There is a din of kinyan kaspo. So, is he still called kinyan kaspo or not? So, the Gemara says, what are the two sides of the coin over here? Kinyan kaspo, arachmona, v'haylav, kinyan kaspo. The fact that he has to be owned by the kohen, and right now he's not really owned by the kohen because he can't work for the kohen. The kohen freed him. Aye, he still needs to get shichur to go marry a Jewish lady, so fine. But that's not kinyan kaspo when he can't eat truma. Or do we say, no, Odilma, given the mechusa get shichur, he can't go and marry a Jewish woman yet until he gets to get shichur, so he's still considered kinyan kaspo to the kohen. Kinyan kaspo, Karina Bey, and he can still eat truma. That's the question they ask in the Beis Medrash, and we'll try to bring the Mishnah that we're about to say as a proof. Tashma. Now it says, it's very strange, the Amar of Masharsha. Rav Masharsha is going to be quoting this Mishnah Yevamos, and on the side of the Masar Sashas, he brings down, it's a plea. The Maisilah Mishmeh Rav Masharsha. When do we ever find that we quote a Mishnah in the name of somebody? We just quote the Mishnah, the Tanan. It says, in any event, here we quoted the name of Rav Masharsha for some reason, and it said the Mishnah in Yevamos as follows. It said, Kohenes Shinis Ari V'lodah B'vlad Shivchosa. You had a Kohen's wife, who was pregnant and giving birth, and then you had one of his slaves, one of the Shivcha Kenanis that he owns, who also gave birth at that time. Now, both of those children would be allowed to eat truma. The child of his, who's his biological son from his wife, so he's a Kohen. Of course he can eat truma. But the slave's son is also Kinyan Kaspo and can eat truma. Now, this is Mestama in a time of Tzara. They were under persecution, so they were hiding away in a cave, and the babies got mixed up. And they don't know who is the actual Kohen and who's the slave's son. So, Kohenish and Nisari Vlad Vlad Shivchasa, the two babies are mixed up. So, Hari Elu Okla Betruma, both of them can eat Truma, as Rashi says, Mimonashach, because either you're a Kohen or you're the servant of a Kohen, and therefore both can eat Truma. And likewise, normally don't let a slave go and collect the truma at the Goren, because they'll be concerned that then people will say, oh, he's a valid Kohen, and for Yuchsin purposes, for genealogy purposes, they'll consider him a Kohen. But here, they're going together. They get entitled to one portion at the Goren, because one of them is definitely a Vade Kohen. When they get older, Higdilu at Tarovos, so these two children, they're stuck. They can't get married, because maybe they're a Kohen, maybe they're an Evet of a Kohen, and therefore they can't marry a Jewish lady because maybe they're an Evet. They can't marry a Shifl Kenanis because maybe they're a free person. So therefore, what do? Mishachrin Zezer. They go and each free each other. They each write a get shechur. If I'm the Kohen, you're now freed. And the other one writes, if I'm the Kohen, you're now freed. And this way, both of them are freed. Now, as we pointed out in our Mishnah, we force them to do this, and therefore they're already considered no longer like an Evet. And yet you see that the Mishnah said that they're still allowed to eat Truma, so therefore asked and answered. Even though the only thing that they're missing is the Get Shichur, they're still allowed to eat Truma. Where it says the two cases aren't comparable. Hochi Hashta, how can you say the two cases are comparable? There, in this case, where the two got mixed up. So one is definitely a Kohen, 100% a Kohen, and one is definitely a slave. So Hossam, in that scenario, Im Yavo Eliyahu, if Eliyahu Novi would come, Vyomer, hey, B'chai Minayu, the Evidu, this one is the Evid, this one is the Kohen, so then, Kinyan Kaspo Karina Bey. So then, this Evid is now known to be the property of the real Kohen. So therefore, it's not a question over here what the status is, we don't know what the status is, but the status is Vaday no. One is a Vaday Kohen and one is a Vaday Evet. So Eliyahu comes and clarifies it. So therefore, in this situation, that's why they're allowed to eat Truma. Hacha, lav kinyan kaspahu klal. But in the case of the Evet that was owned by somebody who was a Kohen, and the Kohen freed him, but just didn't give him a get shechur, so that's what we have on Machlokas. Is or is he not called kinyan kaspo? So that you can't answer from this case of the two children that got mixed up, because one has nothing to do with the other. So already a pretty long shiur, and the next shiur will go far into Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, so this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.